The following program is pre-recorded.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping our listeners hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and today we're back with a new session in our study, The Power of Eight. This week it's number 9, and we're glad you're with us because it is Basic Gospel, and we love being here with you. Hope you're enjoying being here with us. So here's Bob Christopher to get us underway.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're on the resurrection. So we've talked about Jesus, the fact that he was God in human flesh, that he was fully God, fully man, and that he came to make God known. What's God like? Well, we find out in the person of Jesus Christ. We see the glory of God in the face of Christ. We've talked about the Word of God and the authority the Word of God has in our lives. Why? Because it's a book about Jesus, and it's a book that teaches us how to walk by faith in him.
Right.
The scriptures make us wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So we've talked about Jesus, we've talked about the Word, we've talked about the new covenant, that when Jesus died, he ushered in a new covenant. So that cross is a dividing line. It is the place of change. It's where the old covenant was fulfilled. It's where the new covenant was ushered in. Mm-hmm. And so today, as believers in Christ, we live in a new covenant, a covenant in which God has forgiven our sins. He remembers our sins no more, a covenant in which we all know him personally, intimately, from the least of these to the greatest, that we all are part of the people of God. We have assurance of salvation. We belong. We've been marked out by the Holy Spirit as people belonging to the Lord. And we have his laws written on our hearts and in our minds. Now, that's not the Ten Commandments. Those are the laws of faith, hope, and love. Those are the marks of the Christian life, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. That's the new covenant in which we live in today. Well, it's the cross that brought that in, and it's the cross that took away our sins once and for all. And we've talked about that the last 2 weeks. And so today we want to spend, get the ball rolling on the resurrection. Yeah. So the story of Jesus is the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of Christ. And a lot of times we just center everything on the cross. And certainly There's positive things that happen when we center our attention on the cross of Jesus Christ. But sometimes we forget about the resurrection. We forget about the second part the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's in this resurrection that we experience new life. So we're going to spend the next 2 weeks, the next two Fridays, talking about the significance of the resurrection to you and me. And we're going to start this session in the book of Romans, and we're going to look at verse 3 and 4 of Romans chapter 1. So Paul is saying that he's a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. So Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and Jesus told him in that encounter and later on that he was going to be set apart to take the gospel out to the world, primarily to the Gentile world. And it's this gospel that he promised beforehand. Mm-hmm. This isn't, a Johnny-come-lately story. This gospel had been unfolding since the very beginning of time. And it's a gospel regarding Jesus Christ. He's the gospel. He is the good news. Now, regarding his son in verse 3, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. So this resurrection of Jesus Christ from this passage is God's stamp of approval that everything Jesus said about himself is indeed true, that he wasn't just making it up, that he was the light of the world or the resurrection and the life or that God in human flesh. He wasn't making up that story, the fact that he and God the Father were and are one. The resurrection is proof that everything that he said, everything he did was indeed true. Mm-hmm. So the resurrection validated the person of Jesus Christ as who he was, the Son of God. And so it was validated with power, resurrection power. So oftentimes we stop right there with the resurrection. It's proof that Jesus is who he claimed to be. It's proof that his cross worked, that sin has been taken away, and that we're forgiven people. So we look at it as an apologetic. And certainly this verse lends itself to that way of thinking. But it is that and so much more. And so it's that so much more that we really want to look at over these next 2 weeks.
It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and it's the Power of Eight. Glad you're with us. And, friend, it's only because of the gifts of you, our faithful friends, that we're able to be on the air and online every day and provide study series such as this. And if you're new to Basic Gospel, we hope you'll prayerfully consider supporting this ministry and help us continue to reach out with this good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net, and we hope you'll do that today. Again, just donate at basicgospel.net. And in the meantime, we're going to go back to week 9 of the Power of Eight. And again, here's Bob.
Well, thank you, Bob. So we're talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it's validation that everything he said about himself, everything that he did at the cross, indeed was effective, indeed is true. And so the resurrection is proof of that. But as we said before the break, it's so much more. Yeah. And we see in 1 Corinthians 15:17, for example, that it really is the heart and soul of Christianity. Paul put it this way in that particular passage. And this whole chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, is the resurrection chapter. Mm-hmm. So it says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. So the resurrection is the very substance of our faith. Yeah. Apart from the resurrection of Christ, we have no faith. It's just empty. It's just hollow. It's just nothing.
Right.
But since Christ was raised, that resurrection fills the very substance of our faith. So that's good news. So everything in Christianity hinges on the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Right.
If he had not been raised, then we have no Christianity. Mm-hmm. Then we have no real faith, and we're still in our sins, dead spiritually. So that's how important this resurrection is. So Paul, for example, in Romans 10, says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. So the substance of our faith, the substance of what we believe, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting when Abraham was called on by God to sacrifice Isaac, the son of promise. The book of Hebrews says that Abraham reasoned that God had power to bring Isaac back to life.
Mm-hmm, right.
And so that story about Abraham and Isaac, even though resurrection is never mentioned, that story has resurrection, the fingerprints of resurrection, all over it. And why is that significant? Because Abraham is the father of faith. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. What did he believe about God? That God had the power to give life to the dead. Exactly what we believe, that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
That is the substance of our faith. Without this resurrection, we have nothing.
Absolutely.
We're still in our sins without hope in this world.
Beautiful.
Now, why is this significant? Because Jesus Christ came that we might have life. So we see this in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Well, only life could be given to us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he died. The good news story started with the death, Without the death, there could be no resurrection. Without the resurrection, there could be no life for you and me. So when we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, God gives us life. Mm-hmm. Jesus is very life. Right. We receive him. And so we now have resurrection life living in us. Mm-hmm. That's the good news of the gospel. Yeah. So Christ died to take away the thing that killed us, and that was sin. And then he was raised from the dead so that we could be given new life, this abundant life that we can experience to the full through faith in him. So Jesus was raised from the dead so that he could fulfill his mission, and that was to give us life. And that's what you and I needed. Absolutely. In this, as far as the gospel is concerned, life. You and I were dead in sin, and the only cure for death is life.
Life.
And we receive that through the resurrection. Now, this is so vitally important. This is what really changed my life, was recognizing that I had been made alive together with Christ. I never knew that. I spent the first 8 or so years of my Christian experience in the dark about this new life that I had received in Jesus, mm-hmm. the fact that I was alive. But the resurrection is what brought that life to us. Now, let's look at some passages that tell us why this had to be the case. So Romans 5:12, Paul writes this, "In this way, death came to all people because all sinned." So Adam and Eve, they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They did what God said not to do. And God said, the day you do that, you will surely die. Well, they didn't die physically. Adam lived to be 930-something years of age. And so he didn't die that day physically. Death was put into motion. Physical death was put into motion on that day. But he died spiritually. So he forfeited the life of God. He forfeited that relationship that he so enjoyed in the garden.
Mm-hmm, right.
So he was sent out of the garden. Angels were put in front of the entry to keep them out so that they could not partake of the tree of life and live forever in that state of spiritual death.
Right.
They died spiritually. So they passed that death on to all people. So every single person born after Adam and Eve came into this world dead spiritually.
Sure.
So we see that in Genesis chapter 5 when Moses describes the birth of Seth. It says Seth was born into the image of Adam. Mm-hmm. That was a fallen image. That was a spiritual death.
Yeah.
In Ephesians 2:1, Paul puts it this way, "As for you," that's you and me, "you were dead in your transgressions and sins." So what was our spiritual state? Death.
Not good.
That was our problem. What is the solution? Life. That is why Jesus came, to give us life. So death is the problem. The gospel offers you and me life.
Yeah.
Now, so many of us have problems. We might have addictions. We may be, suffering from alcoholism. We just can't break that. Mm-hmm. We may have a drug dependency. There may be other issues that we're dealing with in life, and we keep throwing up prayers to God to say, free me from alcoholism, free me from drug dependency. And nothing seems to work. We may go... I've talked with people, and they may go a day or two or a week or two, and, after that time, they just go back to the alcohol, go
yeah.
back to the drugs, go back to the sex, go back to whatever it was that, that controlled them. And they think, why is God not answering my prayer? Well, the reason it seems that way is because God has something else in mind. So you think your problem is drinking, or you think your problem is drugs, or you think your problem is sexual immorality. And yes, those are all big problems, but your real problem is that you're dead spiritually.
Right.
And so God's desire is first and foremost to give you life. It is first life. So if you will respond to that offer of life and receive Jesus, he will come to live inside of you, and then you can see him start to work on these other issues.
First life, then change.
Absolutely. That's the way it works. First life, then change. I remember a guy that called us from Canada, and I tell this story in my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And he was an alcoholic and a drug addict. Mm-hmm. And he had done everything in his power to free himself of those dependencies. And they were killing him. They were absolutely killing him. He had gone to rehab. He had gone to church. He had studied the Bible. He had prayed. He had done all of those things trying to produce some sort of change in his life. But all that time, he was dead spiritually.
Yeah.
And all that time, God kept appealing to him to receive Christ as his very life. And he called the radio broadcast, and we talked about that. And he said, I've done everything that I know to do, and yet I still feel empty inside, and I keep going back to all those old habits, and they're just killing me. And we got to share the good news that Christ came so that you might have life. And that day, he received life.
Yeah.
And that life began to make a change inside of him. Christ's life, Christ's resurrection life began to make a change. Why? Because Christ's resurrection life has the power over death. Mm-hmm. It has the power over those addictions and all those habits that we get into as human beings. It's the only power that can break us free and produce real change, permanent change in and through us.
Yeah.
So as you said, Bob, it's first life, then change. What does God want for each and every one of us? For us to receive Jesus, to receive his resurrected life.
Right.
That is his desire. That is his priority. And he's going to keep pushing that gospel message toward us so that we can see what our real problem is, death, and we can respond to his offer of life in Jesus Christ.
The best offer any of us will ever have. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and it's the Power of Eight. Glad you've joined us for this. Remember that our study sessions are archived, and we hope you'll visit the archive to review any session if you'd like, or fill in if you've missed any of these sessions along the way. You'll find it at basicgospel.net/teaching. Once again, the archive, basicgospel.net/teaching. And if you're benefiting from what you're hearing on this broadcast, please support this new covenant message of love, grace, and life of the Lord Jesus Christ with your gifts to Basic Gospel. You can donate now or anytime, again, at basicgospel.net. There's a prominent donate link right there on the homepage at basicgospel.net. Now, back to the Power of Eight and Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. So, our problem is death. The gospel offers life. When we receive the gospel, when we respond to it, we receive Jesus, his resurrected life comes to live inside of us, and we're made alive. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the heart and soul of Christianity because it solves our deepest problem. You know, scientists and, you know, the rich and wealthy who invest in science and that sort of thing, they're trying to find a solution to death. They want to solve that problem
right,
so that we can live forever. They're studying how we age, and they've made great strides in learning how that works. So they've looked at our chromosomes, and they've noticed at the end of our chromosomes are these things that look like the ends of our shoelaces, those little plastic things.
Yeah.
They're called telomeres.
Hmm.
That's the biological term. And as we age, those telomeres get shorter and shorter. And when they disappear,
yeah,
death happens.
Yeah.
So they're trying to figure out how to keep those telomeres at a good living length.
Yeah.
But they can't solve it. They can't figure it out. They've observed it happening,
mm-hmm,
but they can't figure it out. Why? Because human intellect does not generate enough power to overcome death.
Right.
We won't be able to figure it out. Only God has power over death. And he solved the death problem in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He solved your death problem in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, these bodies are going to die, but they're going to come out of the grave, and they're going to be made new. You're going to get a resurrection body that will live forever. So what science and all of these folks are trying to accomplish, God has already achieved in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When are we going to learn that God has the answer, every answer that we need? So when we receive this gospel message, here's what happens. Paul put it this way in Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 5, because of his great love for us. So God is always compelled to act on our behalf from a heart of love. So it's his love that sent Jesus. It's his love that was demonstrated toward us at the cross. It's his love that saves us. So because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. So that leads to the great passage that we all know. It is by grace that we have been saved through faith. It is not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. Right. So what is that grace that saves us? Well, it's the power, the resurrection power, that takes those of us dead in sin and makes us alive together with Christ Jesus. That's what grace does. And it's a powerful act on God's part to bring life to these dead spirits of ours. Yeah. So we've been made alive together with Christ Jesus. So that's the implication of the resurrection for you. Yes, it proves that Jesus indeed was God. It proves that his cross was effective, but it also is the very power that was necessary to make you alive together with Christ. Now, this is true of every single person. You know, we love to put people up on stages that have dramatic salvation stories. You know, they were in the mob or the mafia, or they were drug addicts, or they were this or that. And we just are drawn in by their story. And then that powerful moment when the gospel message just grabbed hold of them and rescued them from that old life and brought them into the newness of life in Christ Jesus. And we sit and listen and we say, oh my, I wish I had a story like that. Well, you do. You do. I mean, that person's circumstances were a little different and maybe more dramatic, but the reality was the same. His reality was exactly the same as yours. He was dead in sin. You were dead in sin. And it took the resurrection power of Jesus Christ to make you alive, to rescue you from the grip of sin and death, so that you could be raised to walk in the newness of life through faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So your story is as powerful as any Christian story on the planet. Why? Because it took the power of God to raise you to life, in exactly the same way that it took the power of God to raise Jesus back to life 2,000 years ago.
Great, great insights, Bob. Thank you so much. And friends, we appreciate the fact that you're here for the Power of Eight. Next week, yet another session. And friends, we hope you'll be here for that. But if you miss any of the study sessions along the way, don't forget you can access the archive at basicgospel.net/teaching. Again, that's basicgospel.net/teaching. Also, friends, as we've said before, we need your support to keep this good news on the air and online every day, proclaiming the truth and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Click donate at basicgospel.net, and when you make your gift, we have something special for you to say thanks for your partnership with us in the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Again, you can make that gift now or anytime at basicgospel.net. Remember, too, that if you have a question or something you'd like to talk about or get our input on, the listener line is always open at 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry staff, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back at the same time again on Monday after a great weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The preceding program was pre-recorded.